StreamingChurch.tv has served over 6 million unique viewers over the years, but everything has a starting point, and that's what we're going to talk about today on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Thanks. Welcome. It's the Church Solutions Podcast, and my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy. Very underdressed for you today. But
Look like a tech guy. You look like somebody that's a tech guy out of like California or something.
Got my hoodie on. Yeah, because I was cold. So
you know why I started to wear a tie now, right? And a shirt, right?
It's because you're no, why? Because Mike Gray gave you a hard time?
Because Mike Gray said I looked homeless. He looked he said I looked homeless. And, of course, then he went on to deny it. I meant that about all of us. It's like, yeah.
Well, I look homeless now, so.
Well,
yep.
I got didn't my say that, but.
Long sleeve shirt and my hoodie. Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't say you look homeless. But anyhow. All right. So this is episode number 501. This is the Christmas season, if you're listening or watching this thing, depending on what platform it is. Christmas is coming up here real soon, a few days from now. Actually, what is it? 8 days from now? 7 days from now? What is it? About a week, maybe? Christmas Eve is the 24th. Today's what? The 16th of December.
17th.
Yeah. So it's about a week away from Christmas Eve. And so we do want to say we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from all of us here at JSL Solutions, also known as StreamingChurch.tv.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
And we hope you have a good Christmas.
And we appreciate all of you. So
we do. We really appreciate our customers and people that do things with us. So last week we did episode number 500, made a big thing about it. And I thought it was really a fun episode for me to talk with you. I interviewed you. I thought it was really good. And if you want to see that episode or hear that episode, you can just go to streamingchurch.tv/resources, I guess. It's under resources. There's a lot of things
podcasts.
There.
We'll get you there.
So streamingchurch.tv/podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And
there's probably others. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, you could see us on YouTube if you do a search. You could search Church Solutions Podcast, I think, on YouTube, and we're on Spotify, and we're on any platform that you get your podcast from. So I thought that was a really good podcast. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. So that was episode number 500. So today, this is something you wanted to do for 500, and I, 86'd it or whatever. What is it? I said no in the garbage can.
Right, 86'd.
Throwing up. But you want to talk about key moments in this business that you started back in 2001.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do that. Now, this is a long list, so we only have a half hour here, so you're going to go pretty fast through some of this. And I will comment.
We'll skip some, I guess.
I'll comment on some of these. So the first one is you created JSL Solutions and the product MyFlock.com, which is still in existence in 2001. And you launched it back, what was it, July or 2001 or something like
August
that.
August of 2001. I remember it well. So yeah, I launched it within my home church, was really excited about it. And actually the church was fairly excited about it. So it was just, it was an exciting time. I mean, this is, again, there are no cell phones. There was the internet. There was pets.com had just shut down. So, I mean, this is going back in time. The only thing like it that was available had its splash a few years earlier, and it was something called Friendster, which probably no one ever remembers. But Friendster was the first kind of Facebook-y kind of thing. and Friendster got very popular, and the guy did not scale. So it was a lesson for Mark Zuckerberg, and it just got overwhelmed, and he couldn't keep up with the demand, and so it just got slow and terrible. So something we had discussions about with you yesterday. But anyway, so yes. So that was the only thing that was out there is myflock.com. This is before MySpace. This is before, and obviously before Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
I think 2001, Zuckerberg was probably in middle school or elementary school, maybe. Yeah. No, middle school, probably, yeah.
And the reason we bring this up is because, you know, all this stuff is kind of the evolution of what we are now. So that's why we're bringing these things up. So
you were on the
cutting edge. You really were.
It was very exciting for me. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So
and you made millions of dollars from close to a billion dollars. Didn't you?
Yes. So anyway, one of the first things we did, we launched it at our church, and there was a little bit of buzz about it. And I thought, we're going to make this available for other churches. And so the approach was, I thought, how am I going to do that? And at the time, there was no online advertising per se or anything like that. So we decided I'm going to have a luncheon for pastors, and I'm going to invite all the pastors of my hometown. So there are got a list of all the churches in Tucson, Arizona. I remember there were 400 pastor or churches in the town, and got a mailer, bought a little folding machine that would fold a letter and stuff it in an envelope. Got my kids and other people there, and we stuffed and stamped envelopes. Had a big party on the kitchen table and mailed those out. And we had, like I said, 400 invitations out. I think we had between 30 and 40 people sign up for it. Yeah. So, and it was at the Viscount Hotel. And we did this deal. And I think my pastor, my church, he helped. He spoke as well, you know, talking about it. And it was just, I don't know, it was just kind of a surreal, very exciting time. Because we had over half the people that showed up sign up for MyFlock back then.
Wow. Yeah. I remember you telling, I was in Kansas starting a church, so I missed all that, but I remember hearing about it. So, So that was definitely a pivotal moment.
That was a key.
Definitely good. Those days, I'm sure, were fun and exciting. All right. So let's move on here. What's another moment here?
Another key moment. So we thought, we did this seminar thing. Let's take our show on the road and go nationally. We had a good relationship with Steve Hewitt. I don't know if you remember him or not, but
I
the
do.
Founder and editor of Christian Computing. And he was hosting a conference in Atlanta later on the next year, I think 2002 or so. And so I thought, let's just do the same thing. Let's invite all the pastors in Atlanta. But and we'll get a booth at his show. And so we kind of made this rickety old booth out of PVC and Velcro. And I don't know, it was way back early days. And instead of 400 pastors, there's 5,000 pastors in Atlanta. So our folding, stamping, and mailing game took a major upswing. So, so we mailed 5,000 invitations to this thing and probably had a similar result that we did in Tucson with mailing, 400. We had,
8 to 10%.
No, we had not that. It was much, much worse. So there were much fewer people that came to that went to this event that was going on at this conference. It was in the hotel. We had maybe 40 pastors show up, which is kind of like what we had in Tucson. And so anyway, it was just a lot of work. And I remember in the hotel room the night before, we put our booth together. And all night long, I was thinking, I'm not sure this thing's going to stay up. I thought we'd come down in the morning, me and my pastor, and we'd find our booth all fallen over and But anyway, it survived. And so anyway, one of the key things from that was we were kind of the hit of this conference. You know, all the buzz was around, man, if you talk to the MyFlock guys. And I don't know, it was just fun and exciting. Yeah. They had a dinner with all of the call us vendors that were participated in the show one night. And the guy that was putting on, that was hosting the whole conference and everything, he spoke very highly of us. And it was, you know, he kind of picked us as the head of the show. And so it was a high moment with streamingchurch.tv. The other part of it was we had a rep from one of the longstanding church management systems. I think I'm pretty sure it was ACS. And the rep came over and we're all friendly and, you know, getting to know our neighbor vendors and stuff like that. And she came over and she was just not having it. She said, this web-based thing, it's a flash in the pan. This is not going to happen. You know, all the action's on the PC. Yeah, I know the internet's here, but people are used to doing all their church management, buying their, you know, ACS system and installing it on their PC at the church. He said, you guys think you're something. You're nothing. You guys are going to be gone in 6 months, you know. Well, I was like, oh, nice to meet you, kind of a thing. So anyway, that was another key moment in our history.
Yeah,
so.
And of course, now they're online, so, or whatever's left
of them. Oh, yeah, everybody. Yeah. And at the time, there was no online church management system. I mean, another key moment was another show was probably a year or two later where we had the MyFlock social media piece, and then we migrated into some of the church management tools, but primarily the social media thing. And there was another company that started that is affectionately known as CCB, Church Community Builder. They got owned by somebody else and rebranded, I think. But it was us and them at the time. Yeah. And no one else was doing web-based stuff. And now everybody does web-based stuff.
And you're still at this point, you're still working two jobs. I mean, you got your job at Aerospace Industry. So you're doing this as well as the aerospace stuff here in Tucson.
Yeah, working for the defense contractor there. Yeah, so I had a full-time job and younger kids. So life was very busy back then.
We talked about that in the last podcast. All right. So, let's move along here a little bit if we can. So, webinars you start doing webinars in 2003, right?
Yes. And it was nothing like webinars today. There were no webinar based services, or very few. WebEx existed, I believe, but I chose a service that, that charged me for the webinar. They charged me a quarter per minute per attendee.
Okay.
So we put together a deal where our pastor of our church had grown up in a Nazarene church. So we got access to a bunch of Nazarene pastors and said, let's take this whole thing online. And so we did this initial webinars that were not as fruitful as some of the early seminars we had done, but it was just interesting because it costs several hundred dollars to do. It was like renting a room at the hotel for hosting a seminar back then and costs where we online. Do these webinars and we do these webinars and seminars. It didn't cost us a thing, you know, now back then it was very expensive.
So, Again,
very new and very novel. Continues.
Very novel for sure. In 2004, you were acquired by Digital IMS. Now, briefly tell us about that.
So, my pastor of our church and I were kind of hitting the road and doing conferences and seminars throughout the country. This early MyFlock days. And we were at a conference, I believe it was in Dallas. And there was this company there that was just getting into the space of providing websites for churches. They had a history of providing websites for another industry, mainly the printing industry. And they thought, oh, this looks like a very lucrative space. There's 400,000 churches in the U.S., something like that at the time. And yeah. They thought, oh, and they need websites. And so we'll do that. And they made a presentation at a conference where they committed a major faux pas. And I won't tell you what the faux pas was, but they said something and the whole group kind of gasped inaudibly. And the speaker saw the reaction, but he didn't know what he had said.
Yeah, I you told me about that. And it was referring to a specific group.
We won't go there. But yes, he didn't know, and so
most people don't think most people wouldn't consider them Christians.
Yeah. Anyway, he made a bigger fun. So he didn't know the audience. He was not a believer, right. And they were kind of migrating from another area. We too at that show were pretty popular, kind of up and coming, and so the CEO of their company invited us to their headquarters, and I won't say where. Oh, no, they're Digital IMS. We mentioned the company name. So
right, we did.
They were in Nebraska. They're not going by that name anymore. And they were whining. They just said, why don't you just come see us? And I'm like, okay. You know, we're kind of in a similar space.
You can say whining and dining. It's okay.
Yeah, it was whining and dining. So they're, you know, treating us this. And then we spent the day with all of his staff presenting what their department did. And I'm like, well, that's great, but – you know, what's going on? What's this all about? And at the second day after dinner, the CEO made it clear. He said, we would like to either merge or acquire you guys. And I was very excited because I'd started this thing, you know, in my bedroom and on a home computer, and it's only a couple of years old. And it was, I don't know, it was just really exciting about the whole thing. So
I remember you telling me about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't, and I'd never been in this kind of space before. So the deal was basically that they would take all of our customers. We would slowly begin to migrate the customers off of our MyFlock product onto their product, and they would handle all the billing, all the customer support, all the marketing, all of that. And they basically put us on a salary for a while. And so I thought, oh, this is cool. And then after about a year, I think, they realized that the ministry space was not all they anticipated. And they decided they were going to focus on other things. They kept their product alive, but they weren't focusing on the ministry area, and it became very frustrating for me. So we ended up working a deal where I was able to get all of my customers back, and we just kind of negated the whole arrangement. So it was a key exciting time for me. You know, I'm still working my full-time job, and so we managed to get everything back, and so
carry on.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're starting to run out of time here. I think a notable thing was, which I think was really nice of you, but it also influenced your kids. You hired your kids to do a lot of stuff, like doing coding and doing some other things, which obviously helped them with their future. I thought that was, that was good. I know you actually tried to help my son learned doing some coding. I don't know if you remember that, but
Grayton
started to do it for a little while. I don't know whether it's because he's dyslexic or what, but he decided he didn't want to do that.
Yeah. It was, my kids were just getting into, they were in college and they were just starting out in college and wanting to get in, they're going in engineering field. And so I started out with hiring my oldest. I said, hey, you need a summer job. Why don't you be, and kind of walked them through how to get going and get their feet wet and begin to code, because they hadn't coded at the time. And yeah. So that was kind of cool. And then next kid came along and kind of went through the same thing where I said, okay, go through this course. I can't remember that. We used some online resources for them to learn to code. And I said, go do this lesson, come back. Here's a little work related thing to go do. See if you can go do that. And they do that. So anyway, it was able to teach or get my kids interest or mm-hmm. get them going with coding, three of the kids.
Sure.
And some of their friends as well as one of Chad's best friends was also spent a summer working for me as well.
So, yeah. Cool. Okay. All right. So moving along here, do we want to talk a little bit about the creation of StreamingChurch.tv in 2008?
Well, another key memory from having the summer jobs things I thought was kind of fun was one of the things I had my youngest son doing was testing streams. We had a bunch of different accounts. Yeah. And I need you to go and send a stream to this platform, make sure it works, and then move on to the next one. And so he's downstairs and he's testing all these streams, and all of a sudden phone starts blowing up. And one of our customers is going, "Hey, we've been hacked." And he said, "We're doing a conference." This is like a Tuesday morning at like 9 a.m. or something.
I was working for you. I remember that very well.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they called you first. It was a Russian thing, I think.
It was a ministry that was originally out of Russia. They were in the U.S., I believe. And they were doing a conference. And they were like, "We're doing our conference." And all of a sudden, this shirtless young kid showed up on our video stream.
Skinny, shirtless young kid.
Yes. And I was like, "Well, that's impossible. What's, and then I go, "Wait a minute, Chad's downstairs testing a bunch of streams." So he happened to be working shirtless at home. Summer in Tucson, Arizona. And he would turn the camera on, just make sure that the stream showed up on the platform. He knew the stream was working and we move it on. And I thought, wow, this is a safe time to do it. It's a Tuesday morning. And we had
nobody
for some
streaming.
Reason.
Nobody's streaming.
Yeah, nobody's Tuesday streaming
morning.
Except this conference. So,
Oops.
Yeah, it took
they
us.
Weren't to, happy.
They were not happy. Yeah, no, they were not happy about that.
Yeah. All right. I noticed in this list here, you have nothing. Nothing about hiring me. I guess that wasn't very eventful, was it?
I don't know.
It was a big mistake, I guess.
I was just going down memory lane.
Yeah, there you go.
That was 2008, right?
Yeah.
That's when you came back from Kansas?
I came back, and I was working with you. I got really more into the streaming in 2009, 2010. That's where we were streaming. I know a live church, your church, my church, was doing streaming when I came back, just started doing the streaming. So I was involved in that. We were working with Eric and Wayne. And then I think you got the bright idea to take some of the tools from my flock, like a platform, and create the video chat platform. That was very interactive. So you started to do that, I think, in 2009, 2010, and I was there. But anyhow, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah. So about that time. So that was kind of the beginning of, because 2006, Facebook hit the public airwaves. It was available in colleges in 2004, 2005 or so. But it was available to the general public in 2006, and so it was becoming more and more popular. And
the Facebook, maybe, is that what he called it?
That was the first
Facebook
domain that he registered. Yes, because Facebook.com was not available.
Yeah.
So yes. Yeah, we did go see the movie together with our wives.
Oh, that's right, we did. I remember that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Where are we going here? We're running out of time here. We got about 3 minutes. Maybe we should continue this. I don't know.
Sure.
We talked about the issues we have with the trademark infringement. We've talked about that. There's another podcast we did a couple months ago on the legal issues. Somebody stepped on our trademark, and we talked about that in one of our podcasts a few months ago. I don't know what the title of the podcast was, but you explain that whole deal where people get mixed up with streamingchurch.tv, and there I say it, dare I say it, churchstreaming.tv. And we talked about that whole mess. It's a company that is no longer owned by the same person. But they were called YourStream or something at one point, and they decided, hey, they like what we were doing. They like getting into the church market. They weren't doing that before, so they decided to change their name and go by churchstreaming.tv, and that created a lot of confusion. And we talked about all this stuff, so I don't know if you want to rehash it or not, but we're streamingchurch.tv, folks. We're the originals. So, all right.
Yes.
I want to say that I think a very memorable moment was the weekend of March. I think it was March 13th, was a Friday at the time.
What?
And that's when COVID was announced. And I remember that week we were meeting with somebody. We had a consultant we met with, and I said, this issue is turning into a pandemic, and everybody's, oh, it's not going to be a pandemic, or whatever. And it became a pandemic. And that was March. I think it was Friday, the 13th of March, I think. And then the weekend, I think, was a Sunday, right? The 15th of March. I don't have a calendar here in front of me of 2020.
Yes.
I just remember it was just chaos because everybody was staying home and churches were trying to stream. And what was there, like, 20% of the churches streamed in the world or in the United States, and all of a sudden everybody had the stream. And that was just crazy for us.
It was. I mean, it was. I mean, that weekend was, you know, that weekend I was doing the customer support online, and I've been doing that and not been a kind of an issue in the past. And then all of a sudden, everyone decided, I guess, that week that they weren't going to have church services that weekend. And so all the customers that we had, all the ministries that we were serving at the time, they said, just watch online. And so their audience, if they had, you know, it was a church of 2,000 people, had 40 people or 50 people watching online before. Now they had 1,500 people watching online. And so
it was just,
it was like 10x the number of viewers. And our streaming servers were not, we didn't scale up for that weekend.
Right.
And because we didn't know that it was going to be happening. So, it was a very stressful time. And then we went into the deal for, then, as you mentioned, churches that weren't streaming were like, what are we going to do? I got to start streaming. You know, we're closing our doors. We got to start streaming. So we had just a massive onrush of more ministries coming in. Yeah. And then we had the ministries that we had been serving for years at this time, for, you know, over a decade, and that were having their servers go down. And so we're having to figure out, do we just start onboarding more and more and more people, not knowing whether this coming weekend we're going to be able to keep the servers up for those that have been with us for a long time and the new people as well. So we decided to create a waiting list, which was kind of a tough decision, but it was kind of a key decision where we said, we're not taking on anybody else. We know you guys want to stream with us. We're not going to take on anyone else until we get through a couple of weeks. And so we put together, rather than sign up for us, where we were getting hundreds a day signing up for us, we would, whereas before we would get, I don't know, five a week or something like that. So it was just crazy time.
We hired Michael Gray. I remember that.
We hired Michael Gray. I had other developers that were working with us. Brittany was working. I said, you're not a developer anymore. You're a customer support. My son is a dentist. And they closed his office, and he goes, I'm on furlough. And I said, Good, because I need you to come help me do customer support. And so it was kind of an all hands on deck.
It was
everybody
crazy.
Yeah. Handling, trying to onboard people, help people that were having issues. Everyone had never streamed before, so they're brand new at it. So they had no idea how what's an encoder, yeah. what do I need?
There are lots of stories, but I remember one guy's like, I don't have any cameras. I don't this and that. I'm like, well, do you have a laptop? Yeah. It has a camera, right? Yeah. I said, get a stack of bricks or whatever. Put the laptop on in front of you. And here's how you can download a free live encoder. And here's the credentials. And I remember walking people through all that stuff, where they didn't have cameras, fancy cameras, like some churches had. They just had a laptop. And it actually worked, right? I mean, you have nothing fancy. It's kind of like you and me right here. You know, we don't have anything fancy going on. But, you know, we're looking at the camera and talking. And that's what they did, you know. And it was a crazy time. 2020 was just a crazy time. And nobody knew, you know, what was going to happen, right? I mean, it was like, we're all going to die, you know. I mean, those kind of things, right?
The other thing was Easter is coming, right? I don't know if you remember that. Because Easter was just a few weeks out, and we thought, you know, Easter's the big week for the on. Yeah. But we survived. Easter went fine. Everything was
crazy.
Good. But yeah, it definitely, I think that was probably the last weekend, one of the last weekends that I did customer support myself. I was just so wigged out about it that I said, it was just too stressful for me.
It's a very stressful time. Well, we're out of time here. But we still deal with stress from time to time because we still have customers and there are still issues with, all the stuff out there. I mean, we have people trying to hack us, which is not just us. They're out there trying to hack all sorts of people,
They only hack us when I'm on vacation though.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's always always something goofy happens when you go on vacation. I'm always like, okay, here we go. Steve's on vacation for a week. What's going to happen next?
And we get these hack attacks where they're creating bogus accounts or they're just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And that's common. I mean, it's not just us. I mean, I don't know why these people do what they do, but they're all over the map trying to do things. So it's just part of life, I guess, on the internet. So what's your biggest pleasure during this time?
I guess just getting recognitions from satisfied churches. So churches appreciative of what we do. And it's just, that's part of the biggest pleasure, I guess. I mentioned that before, looking at just the number of unique individuals that have dropped in on a service online and through our efforts
You mentioned a number last week. Thousands and thousands, right? Tens of thousands. What was it? A million? I don't remember now.
This is unique since we've been going. And there's been tens, if not hundreds of millions of people that have watched the services, but just unique individuals.
When you say unique, define unique means.
There's been unique would be if I come to your service for the first time, that counts as a unique visitor. If I come back again, I don't get counted again because I was there before. So yeah, we've reached over 6 million people. And like I said, there's probably there's definitely hundreds of millions of people that have been watching services online. If we counted everybody that have watched services online for churches. Yeah. I look at it like, in the scheme of things, it's Facebook probably serves that number of people every 2 hours, but
every hour, yeah. But it makes me feel good. When we wrap up here, I would say, my time with you and with the company here since around 2009, 2010, I guess, I've enjoyed the customer service aspect, which is really what I do for the most part. Although when I first started, I was doing that as well as, you know, started a blog for us, which is still going today. We started, as we mentioned last week, we started doing what you might call podcast, video podcast. To me, that's a very memorable thing when we started doing those. Also, getting us set up on social media. I mean, that's what Michael Gray handles now, but I helped get us set up on several platforms, social media. And so it's been, you know, it's been the journey has been really enjoyable for me. And it's a pleasure working with you.
I enjoy working with all of you guys, and especially with you. You've been kind of my right-hand guy for a long time.
Not on the list here of memorable events, but I'll take that. You know, I had to dig in there, yeah, right? You know, I had to do
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, we do appreciate the people that are not only our customers, past and present, and hopefully future, but also those of you listening to this podcast or watching this podcast. And we do appreciate your input and just being a part of things here with the Church Solutions Podcast. We are over time, but I think it's been good. And looking forward to a happy new year for everybody here. Good Christmas and a happy new year.
All right, you too.
All right, Merry Christmas. We'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.